वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय So we continue study Srimad Bhagavatam, 10 cantos, Summum Bonum, chapter 17, the history of Kaliya in texts 23 through 25. So we're going to chant together this first verse, 23. Krishna Krishna Mahabhaga,
Krishna Krishna Mahabhaga,
Hera Mamita Vikrama, Esha Goratamo Vaknis Tavakan Grasatehina Krishna Krishna Mahabhaga He Ramamita Vikrama Esha Goratamo Vaknis Tavakan Grasatehina Krishna Krishna Mahabhaga He Ramamita Vikrama Esha Goratamo Vaknis Tavakan Grasatehina Mataji, please. Word for word meaning Krishna,
Krishna
O Krishna,
O Krishna,
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 O Krishna,
O Krishna,
Mahabhaga,
Mahabhaga,
O Lord of all opulence,
Hey Rama,
Rama,
O Lord Balarama,
source of all happiness,
Amita Vikrama,
you whose power is unlimited. Eshaha, this Ghoratamaha, most terrible, Vahnihi, fire, Tavakan, who are yours, Grasate, is devouring, he, indeed, Naha, us. Translation purport by disciples of His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation. Vrindavana resident said, Krishna, Krishna, O Lord of all opulence, O Rama, possessor of unlimited power, this most terrible fire is about to devour us, your devotees. Sudustaranasvanpahi kalagne suhridah prabho nasaknumastva charanam santyaktum makuto bhayam. O Lord, we are your true friends and devotees. Please protect us from this insurmountable fire of death. We can never give up your lotus feet, which drive away all fear. Purport. The residents of Vrindavana told Krishna, if this deadly fire overcome us, we will be separated from lotus feet, and this is unbearable for us. Therefore, just so that we can go on serving your lotus feet, please protect us. And the last verse. Itam svajana vaiklavyam niriksya jagadishvaraha tamagni mapi bhattivram ananto ananta shakti drik. Seeing his devotees so disturbed, Shri Krishna, the infinite Lord of the universe and possessor of infinite power, then swallowed the terrible forest fire. Thus end the purport of the humble servants of His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada to the 10th canto, 17th chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam entitled The History of Kaliya. Om Jnana Timirandasya Jnana Jana Shalakaya Chakshurintam Natasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Mukam Karoti Vachalam Pangum Langayate Girim Yat Kripatam Aham Vande Shri Gurun Dinataranam Namashishtamanum apishachi putra matra svarupam rupam tasya grajamuru purim gosht maturim goshtavatim radha kundam giravaramaho radhika amadavasham praptoyasya pratita kripaya shigurun tamnato osmi ajanulambita bujokana kavadato sankirtanay kapitaro kamalaya taksho vishvambaro dvijavaro yugadharma palo vande jagat priyakaro karunavataro Hey Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kantarada Kanta Namostate Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vishabhana Sutu Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Eva Cha Pachitanam Pavanibhyo Vaishnavibhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, dear devotees, and all internet listeners as well. Thank you for coming. Thank you for listening. So we continue studying this. So this is last few verses of this chapter, and my intention was that I'm going to speak a little bit on this topic. And if we will have some time, maybe I would like to make the overview of all the chapter. And I would like to make some points about the history, which we started in the beginning of this chapter. So we try to cover these topics. I don't know if we can... if the time allows us. So, actually the similar verse to like this first one, we can find in the 25th chapter of this canto. And this is very similar because, many of this actually, many stories repeat like that, that we just read this first verse, Krishna, Krishna, Mahabhaga, because Krishna always brings some troubles to his friends, to his associates, in order to inspire them to take shelter of Krishna more and more and more. So this, the same story in 25th canto, 25th chapter of this, when the all the denizens of Vrindavana approach Lord Krishna when Lord Indra start to pour in rain. And they approach Krishna, saying, I'm going to read the verse. Krishna, Krishna, Mahabhago, Tvam Natham Gakulam Prabho, Tratu Marhasi Devanna, Kupitad Bhakta Vatsalaha. The cowherd men and women address the Lord, Krishna, Krishna, most fortunate one, please deliver the cows from the wrath of Indra, O Lord, you are so affectionate to your devotees, please save us also. And there is a short purport. At the time of Lord Krishna's birth, Gargamuni had predicted, Anena Sarva Durgani. By his grace, you will easily cross beyond all difficulties. The residents of Vrindavana were confident that in such a great emergency, Lord Shinarayana would empower Krishna to protect them. They accepted Krishna as everything, and Krishna reciprocated their love. So, we might think, how come that the troubles come to the associate of Krishna? And we know the reaction of these pure devotees. Reaction of them, they approach Krishna for the protection. Please, Krishna, save us. They have a full faith in Krishna. But as far as we are concerned, we usually go to the, if something wrong in our life, something bad, we usually go to the doctors, to the lawyers, to the some psychologists, not we, maybe, well, materialistic people, maybe we sometimes do, I don't know. So, but if we have this conception of Krishna, like who is beyond our perception, who is somewhere on the clouds, Krishna will never help us if we will not have a full faith in Him. So in Krishna, He's not hurry to help us. He thinks that why should I help Him? He has so many people who can help Him. So He's not very much anxious. But Krishna, He's make sure that the Brijabasi be anxious to take shelter of Krishna. So He always, every day He brings some demon in order to inspire these devotees to remember Krishna and approach Him and take shelter more and more. He increases their love for Him. After each incident, the devotees, they love Him more and more. So, they never look for anybody else for the protection. They look only for Krishna. Krishna, only you can save us, only you. They have no other shelter. They had complete faith in Krishna. And of course, the troubles and the problems for sure come to our life. Just like here, the devotees, they're saying, the death is approaching us. Krishna, please save us. So, and this is very important thing that we have to, at that moment, we have to concentrate our devotion, concentrate whatever we achieved in spiritual life, concentrate on taking shelter of Krishna. Because ultimately Krishna and His devotees, of course, they can give us that shelter, that protection. The devotees, they will remind us about the purpose of our life. So they're actual well-wishers of us. And how we can do it, how we can take shelter of Krishna. In our position, only we can do is try to purely chant Hare Krishna. From this pure chanting actually starts our spiritual life. Some people think that spiritual life starts when I give up meat eating, that he's become saint. Or more than that, they think he's become saintly, pure devotee, he give up sex. So this is complete pure devotee. But not. The pure spiritual life starts with the tears in our eyes, we approach Krishna asking for the help, for the mercy of Krishna, for the protection of Krishna. From this actually the starts real spiritual life. Not some mundane thing that we gave up. This Srila Prabhupada said that it's only the life of the pious people, those four regulative principles. This is just beginning. It's not a spiritual life yet. So, we know that how the devotees, they're taking shelter of Krishna from the Mahabharata example of Draupadi when she got unrobed. She first tried to approach some seniors, some her husbands to protect her. But then she understood, well, no, only Krishna can help me, actually. So she approached Krishna purely, chanting, Hey Govinda, Hey Govinda. And Krishna helped at that moment. So the the success formula in this world is to be dependent on the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And the formula of defeat is to depend on somebody else in this world. This is actually a definition and opinion of Vritrasura from the seventh canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. Vritrasura said that if you are dependent on Krishna, this is a victory. If you depend on demigods or somebody else, this is defeat for sure. So this is a secret. And actually the devotee, he don't afraid to lose his body. Well, the real devotee, pure devotee, he's not afraid to lose his body. What is the greatest fear for the devotees is to lose Krishna, to forget Krishna. And to forget Krishna means to fall down in the whirlpool of birth and death. This is the bad thing that could happen. And the materialists, they're opposite to that. They're very much afraid to lose their bodies. They're very much afraid to lose their objects of their sense gratification. Once there was a serial in America here, many episodes. So the serial is about the rich man, handsome looking, very healthy man, and he's rich. And this serial was on a top chart of popularity. Because in this serial, it was explained that showed that at some point he was diagnosed by the doctors as have a cancer. So, and the doctors told him, "You have only 6 months to live." And what materialists do? What he did in that serial? He, as soon as he came to know that he has only 6 months to live, he started. This serial started showing how he started to enjoy this remaining 6 months. One episode, for example, was showing how he enjoyed in Hawaiian Islands. Another episode, he was showing how he enjoyed life in the Caribbean Islands. Another episode, he showed how he enjoyed in Swiss Alps. And so many, many other places in this world. That's how materialists prepare to their death. They're trying to enjoy. Enjoy, because they think, oh, I not get enough. I have to enjoy more and more. So after 6 months, according to scenario, he's supposed to die now. It's only a couple episodes have left. So, and the viewers or the public start writing complaint to the TV station that, no, show must go on. We need to see more. And the producer or director of this movie, he all of a sudden found some doctor who found another cure, and he gave this patient, and it's only enough for another 6 months only to to live for him, in order to show that he's going to enjoy another 6 months in other places in this earth. So ultimately, that's how the materialists enjoy, how they prepare to their death. So there is Charvaka philosophy. What Charvaka said, his main philosophy said that as long as you live, you enjoy life. This is Charvaka philosophy. And he said, whatever you do, you eat food cooked on ghee. This is his philosophy. This is a higher standard of the enjoyment. Because he was living in another yuga, nowadays maybe if he would live right now in Kali Yuga, he would tell that enjoy life, have pizza, burgers, potato free, and everything. Yeah, and he said, "Yadha jivet sukham jivet." Yeah, as soon as you leave, you enjoy. And Niti Shastras explained this verse. He said, "He explained this. What if, the people might think, well, the ghees are pretty expensive. How can I get it? He said, if you cannot buy a bag for the ghee, bag from somebody else. Well, but the person might say, well, if I beg in my begging, maybe the people will not give me the ghee, they will give something else. Then borrow, he said, borrow ghee. But the man might say, well, I can ask, but they might not have given to me the ghee. He said, then steal. If you beg, borrow, steal. If you, but in any case, you have to enjoy cooking ghee. But the person might say that, well, if I do stealing and all kinds of bad things, then reaction, I'm going to reap some reaction for that. And Charvaka explained, well, who cares about next life? Who saw this next life? When you die, your body will just finish. That's all. Nobody saw the next life. Nobody know about it. So this is a materialistic philosophy, materialistic type of life. Another thing in Niti Shastra explained, there is a few verses explaining how the person lying on a deathbed, he's getting questions. What if he's in a situation already on deathbed and he's about to leave this body and he's asking, what will happen? I'm gonna go to. I'm gonna die. So who is gonna go with me in this big journey? He's asking, and he's asking, what gonna happen to my wealth? What gonna happen with my wealth that I achieved, acquired? Niti Shastra explained. Well, the wealth will stay in. Well, at that time, the people in India, they kept all their wealth under the ground, buried. So the Shastras explained that your wealth remained buried under the earth. So he said, okay, so what happened to my horses, to my transportation? What's going to happen? And Niti Shastra explained, well, all your horses will remain in a barn. They will not go with you. Just like nowadays, what's going to happen with my cars? What's going to happen with my Mercedes, with my Ferrari, everything? What's going to happen? No, they will stay in garage when you die. So, and next he is asking, what happened to my relatives and my... what's going to happen to my wife? This is Niti Shastra explained, Barye Grihe Dware. As it said that your wife only go with you until the doorway of your house. And because in Vedic culture, the women, they're not allowed to go to the cremation grounds. So, Barye Barye cha dvare griha dvare. She will go only up to the. Okay, so what happened to my relatives? Well, Niti Shastra explained that your relatives only accompany you up to the funeral grounds. Okay, then he is asking, and what happened? What's going to happen with my body? Niti Shastra explained, well, your body will only accompany you only up to the funeral pyre. After that, you will go alone. So, this is actually a reality of our life. Also, there is there was once a king. So, this king, he has four wives, four queens, and with these four queens, he had very interesting dealings, a very interesting communication, very interesting relationship with each of them. First queen he had, with the first queen he kept feeding her and fulfilling all her wishes. He used to dress her as soon as she decided, buy her nice saris, nice a nice cloth. And as soon as she decided, she supplied nice food for her. That's only with his first wife he dealt like that. But the second wife, he kept only just to show others. Just show others how my beautiful wife is. He showed to his friends and relatives and whatever. Third wife he had. The dealings with her was for hours and hours he was talking with her intimately, discussing some mundane topics with her. That's just for many hours. He spent hours and hours every day just talking with her. He likes to with the third wife, and he had a fourth queen. The fourth queen, he just ignoring her. He didn't care about her actually. So these four kings, four queens. This is purport to this story, that the meaning of this story, that this kin compared to our soul, and these four, first queen compared to our body, because our body, we just keep feeding it. As soon as it demands, we're feeding, dressing and everything, whatever its demand, the body, this allegory. The second queen is compared to our wealth. Wealth, we just show to everybody. We just show how rich we are. And the third queen is compared to our relatives, who we are talking with our wife, with our children, spend hours and hours talking with them. And the fourth queen compared to who can guess? Huh? Huh? Super soul. You're right. Spirit soul, we're always neglecting. We always don't care about super soul. So this is the time came when this king was on a deathbed, lying down, and he was worried about who is gonna go with me after death and this also big journey. So he's gonna ask inquire from each queen. Who's gonna? He inquired from the first queen. Well, will you accompany me? She said, "No, sorry, I cannot accompany you. Maybe I can accompany you, but up to the cremation grounds." And Kin was very much surprised. Well, I was so much. I feeding you so much, and I did so much for you, and you only give. Accompany me up to that. That's your loyalty. Okay, second wife, he inquired, will you go with me in this journey? Will I accompany you? The second wife said, no, as soon as you die, I'm going to marry somebody else. So, and he was very much, with the pain in his heart, he was so. With the third, so he inquired for the fourth wife, a third wife. And third queen said that we can do as soon as you die, we're just gonna cry only cry for you, just how bad it is you died. So, and he was set aback. Oh, he couldn't believe that. Oh, very bad. And he didn't ask for the fourth wife to accompany him, but this fourth wife. She approached him by herself and asked, I'm going to accompany you. And he was so much surprised. Well, I always neglected her, and she's following me. So the purport is that the body only can accompany us to the cremation grounds. The wealth will be possessed by somebody else when we will die. And the relatives, what the relatives do is actually this also very superficial, how they cry, because you know, in usually it's they cry and they gather together and start crying. This very vividly explained in the third canto by Kapila Deva, that they gather together and start crying, And you know, while they gather together and speak all these pity things on him, just to remind him, yeah, you are dying, you are going, you are leaving. If you decide to stay back, make sure that you're not staying back, make sure that you're leaving. You're dying. So they're reminding him, you're dying. And so this is actually a very superficial way. There is a story of one man came, there is one man lying down on a deathbed in a hospital, and his son came to him to see him in a hospital. And he said, he came up to him, to his deathbed, and said, "Father, now you are leaving. What can I do for you now?" And the father said, "Well, son, the much as you can do, first of all, you can do, you just put away your foot from my oxygen pipe." So he stepped on the oxygen pipe, make sure that he's lived right now. So that's much you can do, you just take away your foot from the oxygen pipe, the rest will, because it's for some time this system is keeping him alive for some time, but he wants to make sure that he's living out. So this is a materialist. this is the purpose of the super soul, the purpose that super soul always follow behind us from the life after life after life, helping us. And in Srimad Bhagavatam, it is explained that, yes, the death will come for sure. And this example from Srimad Bhagavatam is giving us these examples how we should prepare to the death. We should approach Krishna, should approach for the shelter to the devotees of the Lord. And this will help us to see Krishna in a death personified. There is only also very nice analogy or allegory. One of the devotees compared a very beautiful allegory, how he said that our life compared to the journey. This journey, he said that during the journey time, our luggage unsecured, we have a lot of discomfort and inconvenience during our journey. But he explained that when we are returning home, then everything is convenient. We can leave our luggage anywhere in our home, it's secure. We can eat anything and we can sleep anywhere in our home. It's secured and full of comfort and conveniences. So Srila Prabhupada said that, he also explained that when we are returning, Srila Prabhupada said that we're going back to Godhead, yeah? Back to Godhead, when we return back to Godhead, we are coming back home. And this devotee, he compares that during our life that we are chanting, and especially at the time of death, he compares that we are knocking at the door of our home at the end of the journey, big journey. So we are knocking at the door of our home. And also materialists also, they are knocking at some door at the end of, because they're also chanting something at the time of death. But it's explained that they are knocking at their own door. They're knocking at their own door, and they're knocking, and when the death comes, the door is open, and they in fear say, "Oh my God, this is the wrong door. It's not my home." But and at that time they understand. So I have to get another species of life. So it's not. I have to. Even though you can come inside at some wrong door, some neighbor's door, but you can stay for some time, but not forever. After some time, you will be asked to leave that place. You are not going to stay forever. So after some time, you have to leave that. This next particular body, you are not going to stay in this body for a long time. So, we are also, for many, many lifetimes, we are knocking at their own door. And only by Srila Prabhupada's mercy and by the mercy of Vaishnavas, now this lifetime, which is very important for us, where he show us the right door, please knock properly. And we have to knock hard enough. And at the time of death, the door of Goloka Vrindavana will open, and will come back to our home. And it's explained that Krishna, he knows that. Well, in material world, not so many people coming back, not so many people taking these airlines, Garuda Airlines or Goloka Airlines. And Krishna already know that somebody already knocking at this door, and we're going to meet him. So they gather together in Goloka Vrindavana, and Krishna, as soon as see us, he give us a loving embrace, like I saw the picture, how the Krishna embracing Gopakumari. Yeah? Remember that picture? Loving embrace. So Krishna waiting for us, actually, and this is mercy of Srila Prabhupada, that he's given us the... And he's not like, he just, most of the people saying, Srila Prabhupada, save us. No, from our side, we have to also have some endeavors, and that endeavors should be pure chanting of Hare Krishna. And we are knocking, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So at some point, the door will open, Goloka Vrindavana, and we will understand that we are returned home back, and we'll be always with Krishna. But Krishna, of course, he will take care of us at home. And most of the, not only Krishna will meet us, but Srila Prabhupada also will meet us in Goloka Vrindavana. Once, Guru Das Prabhu, he asked Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada, when we return home to Goloka, how gonna we locate you there? Because the Goloka is, you know, 3/4 of the creation. It's so big, it's millions and millions of gopas and gopis. How are we gonna locate you? Srila Prabhupada said, don't worry, I will locate you. So, because everybody already knows that this person is coming back. So, I guess there is no time for this second part that I supposed to say, but it's also very important thing about the story of Saubari Muni. There is five consequence of offense of anarthas. I got this so interesting material from Bhaktisandarbha, and I guess we don't have a time, maybe next time. So if somebody has questions or comments, please. Yes, to example.
So the story with Ajiva. The most interesting question you should have asked there is, what would happen to me? See, for those that fail to serve Krishna, then hellish life is surely there. See, and if you
start... Say again, please.
For those that fail to serve Krishna... Hellish life is there. So you were explaining with the Jew, saying, what would happen to my wife, my wealth, my horse? But he should ask, what happened to me?
Yeah, this is Niti Shastra. They just explain some superficial ways, kind of not pure Shastra, not
right.
Bhakti Shastra.
Yeah, because if he understand the journey of the soul through the hellish planet, he would definitely surrender to Krishna right away. Yeah.
Oh, thank you. Anybody else has a comment or questions? Or maybe I should quickly... Okay. Well, it's not time for the second part. I don't want to mess up with the second part quickly. Yeah, Mataji, please.
I was just wondering if you know what happens to somebody who is a materialist, and then at the time of death, they're still in their subtle body, and they're going to take another material body. Is there, I don't know if you know, is there a moment where they like realize transmigration, or do you think they're just continuing on in ignorance, or does Krishna give them like a little glimpse about what's going on? Like once they leave their material body?
Well, my opinion that there is people in three gunas. Those who are in ignorance, they will not understand anything. Those who are in Rajaguna, they might understand, might not. in mode of goodness, they will understand. It depends on the living entity. They will understand the seriousness according to their what they got. If they're too much gross and ignorant, they will never understand anything. So usually the people they have some glimpse that they did something wrong in their life, and they realize, but it's too late.
Well, it's because they go to Yamaraj after they leave their gross body, right? And then this Yamaraj, like, do they understand at that point? Like you said, you think it depends on, like, whatever modes they're in?
They understand, but they couldn't do anything. They couldn't do it. It's too late.
Because then they go into, like, a fish body, for example, and then it's too late.
It's too late. Yeah, this is explained also in the third canto. Not all the jivas, but remember that part of the Srimad Bhagavatam, third canto, when the spirit soul in the womb, he's praying to God, "Oh God, I did something wrong. Now, as soon as I come out, I will be so much devoted to you. I'm going to serve you. I'm going to do everything for you." But as soon as he comes out, he forgets everything.
Right, so it seems like there's time when he's like in his subtle body that he does understand, and then he doesn't. When he gets his material body, then he just completely forgets.
Forgets, yeah. The mode of ignorance covers his memory, covers everything.
Yam yam bapi smaram bavam te ati ante kalevaram tam tam evaiti kanteya shatat bava vitaha. Whatever is our state of conscious at the time of death, we will achieve that state. So that means that, like you say, we're in the mode of ignorance at the time of death, that we achieve a body in the mode of ignorance, and same thing with the passion. And so for a devotee, we're supposed to be always in the mode of goodness, in the sense that we are Krishna conscious. That's what we're chanting, that's what we're praying, that's what we're doing, all these things. We're preparing for the time of death so we can remember Krishna. But Krishna is so merciful, especially towards his devotees, that he say, even if my devotee don't remember me at the time of death, I will remember him. Yeah. So we're guaranteed that as long as we're in this process of developing our natural relationship with Krishna, then we're guaranteed that Krishna will protect us, even if we don't achieve the highest perfection, which is going back home at this lifetime, we will achieve a better life so we can continue in this process. So there's no diminish or loss in this process.
Thank you. Yes, Madam Mohammed.
I was thinking of the story of Ajimio, and also relating it to people who do hospice. There's hospice nurses and things like that, and there's when you see the Yamadutas even before you're out of your body, because they're the ones that take you out of your body. So you're still in your body when their subtle ropes are put around you and pull you out. So when they see the Yamadutas, there's a reaction. And when you talk to the hospice nurses, they say a lot of times all of a sudden there's a horror look, and they start thrashing back and forth. They're like throwing themselves all around. The ropes are there, and then they're gone. So that thrashing element, that's when the Yamadutas are there, putting the ropes on, taking you out of your subtle body, and you're holding on. And if you talk, you know, I was with my father-in-law right before that time. There's different circumstances, and I was talking to the lady that was taking care of him, which the hospice nurse from Jamaica, and she watches. That's her for the last 20 years. She just watches people die, and we had some conversations on that. But she said that when we came in, it was my wife, my son, my daughter, we started chanting, and Badahari, we had a CD of him chanting Lala Samayi, and we wrote, did all the put on the charter with the Harinam, wrote on him Ganges water, you know, the full. She didn't understand anything. She says, but whatever it was, it's the most miraculous event that she's watched. The whole atmosphere in the room changed. He became completely peaceful and calm. So there's evidence that you can just watch yourself. You know, he wasn't particularly, he was a pious person, but he wasn't favorable towards Krishna consciousness. But when the chips were down, so to speak, and there was an opportunity, he actually could understand. Because the Jamaica lady, she was saying they got 1 foot in, 1 foot out, because sometimes they talk to people that have been dead for years. And he says, why are you talking to people that are dead for years? Of course, he's kind of in a coma. But she said, well, they're a transition state. So it's a very important time.
Thank you. Anybody else? Okay, thank you for your patience. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Granthara Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Gaura Premanande.